Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. Game one of the NLCS is tonight, and I'm recording this literally at 8 a.m. right now, 12 hours from now, well, just a little over 12 hours. The NLCS starts tonight, Phils and D-backs. I couldn't be any more excited for this matchup to start. I think this matchup favors the Phils. We'll get into it, man. There's a lot of stuff to get into. It's really today just going to give you a preview of the series, preview of game one tonight. Keeping it simple, preview of the entire series, preview of the first game tonight against the Diamondbacks. And then I'll recap game one of the ALCS from last night. Give you a brief short recap, update you on that series, preview a short preview of game two between the Rangers and the Astros tonight in Houston. So we'll get to that a little bit later, get you updated on that. But we got to start with, you know, it's again simple show today, but NLCS preview. We'll do a preview of the entire series right here for a little bit, and then we'll get to a preview of game one in, right after I preview the entire series. So how both teams got here? Let's start with that. How both teams got here? D-backs coming in on the year in the regular season, 84-78 record. They finished second in the National League West and snagged late in the season that third wild card spot, as that wild card spot really fluctuated between like five teams, or the last couple of wild card spots for like five teams in the last like month or two. So they were able to get the third wild card spot. They won their wild card series over the Brewers 2-0, and then swept the Dodgers in the National League Division Series 3-0. They have not lost a game yet this postseason. On the other side, your Fightins, 90-72, second in the NL East, and of course got the first wild card spot by the end of the season. And then, of course, as you know, they won their wild card series over Miami 2-0, and then won the NLDS over the mighty Braves once again 3-1. So those are how both teams got here, and both teams now in the National League Championship Series. No one really saw this matchup coming. Let's be honest. All of us, look, I expected, maybe unlike some other people nationally, I know a lot of, there's a good amount of people here in Philadelphia that expected the Phillies to get to the NLCS. We did not expect this matchup. Look, the D-backs, even like three, four weeks ago, some were saying like, oh, this team's not going to make the playoffs. And there was a point where I think they were just outside of the wild card spot. But again, that last wild card spot fluctuated. So looking at the projected starters for the series, we have Zach Wheeler and Zach Gallen, the two Zachs in game one, and we'll get to a bit more of that in just a few minutes. But looking at the rest of the series, game two, it will be Aaron Nola and Merrill Kelly. You know, the first two games here, really the battle of the big horses for both teams. Nola has been great over his last five starts. He's gone 12 innings, a couple of earned runs and 12 strikeouts. He has been phenomenal in his last five starts overall. And to start the postseason, he has just been really, really, really good. Merrill Kelly, 3.29 ERA and just over 177 innings pitched, 30 starts during the regular season. And throughout the playoffs so far, he had one start in the divisional series against the Dodgers, where he went just over six innings, just over six shutout innings, five strikeouts, and two walks. And then looking ahead to game three, it'll be Ranger Suarez and Brandon Pfaadt. Suarez started games 1-4 of the National League Championship Series. He only gave up one earned in about eight or nine innings of work. It looks like, yeah, it was about eight. It just over eight innings of work. Brandon Pfaadt, an ERA just under six in the regular season. It was really outside of Kelly and Gallen, really. After that, wasn't too great in the regular season. Pfaadt had a ERA just under six in 18 starts, 96 innings pitched in the regular season. But throughout the 2023 playoffs so far, and a couple of starts for them, he was almost like kind of an opener in a couple of these games. I don't know, but three earned and seven innings throughout the playoffs so far. He's been solid for the most part. I think game two was a lot better than his first game that he pitched in the wild card series. Game four. Now this is like pending. I don't know if these matchups are necessarily announced. These are all, by the way, according to FanGraphs. So I think Gallen and Wheeler were announced tonight. I know the Diamondbacks announced Gallen and Kelly for the first couple of games. I know that for a fact. But game four, the projected starters, Taijuan Walker, Ryan Nelson. Walker coming into the season with a 4.38 ERA and 31 starts, 172.2 innings pitched in the regular season. Really was hoping it'd be Christopher Sanchez. Maybe it still will be. I mean, again, this isn't like announced, but it looks like Taijuan Walker playing against his old team in the Diamondbacks versus Ryan Nelson. Ryan Nelson has a 5.31 ERA and 27 starts, 144 innings pitched during the regular season. He really hasn't pitched much throughout the postseason so far. They haven't needed him to. He's only pitched a third of an inning in the first wild card game, where he gave up three hits and one strikeout. So those are your projected starters for the series. Looking ahead to keys for the Phillies to win the NLCS, and it's all like relatively simple. Like, and the way I look at this is like the Phillies just overall need to do what they need to do. Like, I really think it's an overwhelming matchup for the D-backs. I know there's people out there that are trying to make a case that the D-backs, look, to a certain extent, the D-backs, you know, deserve to be here. Like, they did what they needed to do as far as, you know, winning their series and in the wild card round and in the NLDS against the Dodgers. Like, look, I think it was more the Dodgers choking, but at the end of the day, the Diamondbacks did what they needed to do, right? So, but again, I just think this is like an overwhelming matchup for the D-backs. The Phillies just have to do what they have to do, and I'm really confident, and I think a lot of us around here are. Like, it would be a very huge surprise if the Phillies lost this series. Now, if you want to debate how many games, that's fine with me. I will tell you how many games, and obviously I think the Phillies are going to win this series, by the way I'm talking, so you already know that. But I'll tell you how many games in just a second. But they just need to do what they need to do, okay? bats pick each other up. Like we saw it in the first couple of games in the wild card round and the divisional series, especially the divisional series, like where Kyle Schwarber did not hit well, Alec Boehm did not hit well, but Bryce Harper, Brandon Marsh, Nick Castellanos, Trey Turner, even JT Realmuto to a certain extent, all did. They all hit really well when they needed to. Were all clutch when they needed to be clutch against Atlanta, and they picked up Kyle Schwarber and Alec Boehm and maybe a few other bats that weren't really, doing their jobs in the divisional series. So, I think that there's going to be a couple of guys maybe that don't have a great championship series. It would be awesome if they were all hot, like everybody was hot at the same time. But you have to account that maybe there will be one or two bats. That's just how baseball goes, that aren't hitting well. Maybe Nick Castellanos doesn't hit well, or Realmuto isn't hitting well at all, or somebody like that. But as long as, you know, Harper, a Turner, a Schwarber, a Boehm are picking those guys up, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's very rare that the entire offense is all firing on all cylinders. Like, there really hasn't even been a time like that for the Phillies this year, right? Like, there's even up until the last couple of months, like JT wasn't hitting all that well, but the rest of the entire offense was hitting really well. So it's important in this series that they don't all go cold at the same time, because that wouldn't be good. But I'm pretty confident that won't happen. But at the end of the day, as long as, you know, guys are picking other guys up that aren't hitting well, like, that's what matters. So if they continue to do that like they did in the divisional series, I think that's really important. The bats pick each other up. So that's first key. Second key, Aaron Nola does what he needs to do over the last five starts. Plain and simple. Just don't revert back to what you were over the regular season, where you were up and down, mediocre, just imploding in certain innings. You saw that in the Marlins series where he didn't implode in some of those middle innings, like the third, fourth, fifth innings. It was one of those innings where they could have imploded and it didn't. He gets double plays to end innings. That's what Aaron Nola has to do. As long as, you know, you get these starts where he's got what? He's just pitched really well over his last five starts in general. So, as long as Aaron Nola just does what he needs to do and does what he's been doing over his last handful of starts, that's what he has to do. And he will pitch, you know, in two of these games, most likely, depending. I mean, if the Phillies sweep, that's a different story, but he'll most likely be pitching. I guess that would be game six, right? Because Wheeler would go one. So maybe he only pitches one game. That would be more ideal for the Phils anyway. But Aaron Nola just does what he needs to do, because that could be important in game two. I mean, even if the Phillies win game one, that would be a big deal for the D-backs to potentially win game two if they can really get to Aaron Nola. So Aaron Nola just doing what he needs to do in game two, and not doing what he did in the NLCS last year, I believe, where he didn't have a great start. I know the CS and World Series, he wasn't all that great. I don't exactly remember if he had a good start in the NLCS. I think he had one or two bad starts in there in the CS, but I could be wrong. But regardless, it doesn't matter. Nola, just don't be what you were in the regular season. And there was times where he was really good in the regular season, but there was a lot of times where he was really bad. So as long as he's just, you know, we don't see the imploding Aaron Nola, which could be trouble for the Phils. So Nola doing what he needs to do. And then the third one, relievers coming up big in high leverage spots, like we saw against Atlanta. And, you know, a good amount of that is Topper and putting the relievers in the right spots and, you know, getting out of jams when he needs to. It's basically just, you know, instead of Kimbrel coming in the ninth, he has him come in and whatever spot it was in game four, and Strom coming in and Alvarado coming in, when he throws them in there, and them getting the job done when they need to. So a part of that is Topper and putting him in the right positions, but obviously it's, you know, it's on the pitchers, on the players to do their jobs. So relievers coming up big in the high leverage spots when they happen, again, I think the Phils are really not going to have a tough time with the D-backs this series. But again, D-backs are here for a reason. Got to respect them at the same time. I don't want to disrespect them too much at all. So, but in high leverage spots, relievers like Alvarado, like Kimbrel, like Seranthony, these guys need to do their jobs when they are called upon. So those are my keys to the series. Bats pick each other up. Nola, have a great Nola start. Relievers come up big in high leverage spots. So now for my prediction. Phillies in five. I'm a little nervous about that fourth game. If it's Taiwan Walker going, like, I'm really not like super confident in Taiwan Walker. I don't think a lot of people are. Christopher Sanchez, even if it's him, Sanchez doesn't have a lot of postseason experience. He doesn't have any postseason experience, excuse me. And he hasn't even started a full season in the major leagues yet. So who knows what could happen to Christopher Sanchez, but I'll be more confident in Christopher Sanchez just from what I've seen in him over Taiwan Walker. But I think that game could be a toughie for the Phils. And that would be in Arizona, right? That would mean staying in Arizona for game five. It is the 2-3-2 format. I think still, right? Which I hate. I think it should be 2-2-1-1-1. I will say Phillies in five. I think somewhere in there, the D-backs will steal a game. I mean, who knows? Maybe they give Taiwan Walker a bunch of run support, which they have this year, because he has like 15, 16 wins somehow. I'll say Phillies in five. Would I be surprised if this went six? Kind of. I've talked to some people that think it's the Phillies in six. Like, I don't know, man. Phillies in seven, I definitely would be surprised. And if Phillies lost the series, that would be the end of the world. I'm not saying the end of the world for real, but like, I don't know, man. Like, there's any way the Phillies lose this series. There's some people who are trying to compare the D-backs to last year's Phillies. The D-backs don't have that type of magic. Like, again, the D-backs have done what they've needed to do against, you know, the Dodgers and the Brewers, but the Brewers and Dodgers both, like, don't have, like, great postseason history. They've had, like, postseason history where they had a good regular season but don't show up in the playoffs. So, I don't know. And, like, especially the Dodgers, who, yes, they won a World Series in 2020, but there's been years where 2019 Nationals beat the Dodgers, and the Dodgers choked in that first round. So I don't know. Like, I just, there's some people are trying to compare them. I think the Phillies were better last year than the Diamondbacks are this year. I get it. The whole Gallen and Kelly, like, they have somewhat of a team built, but like, they don't have anybody after Gallen and Kelly. I know Fott's been okay, but like, I don't know. I think it's like a bit of a reach on that comparison. So I just don't think the D-backs really have a chance in this series. And I would be really surprised if they really took two games or even won the series. That would be insane. But I'm going to go Phillies in five. So Phillies in five, my official prediction for the National League Championship Series. And real quick, before we get to the game one preview, Kyle Schwarber, my NLCS MVP. He's due. You look at his numbers from last NLCS. He could have won NLCS MVP if it wasn't for Bryce Harper. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But I'll go Kyle Schwarber, my NLCS MVP. Game one preview for tonight. So looking at Zach Wheeler and Zach Gallen. Wheeler's numbers on the season, 3.61 ERA and 32 regular season starts, 192 innings pitched, 212 strikeouts. His first two starts in the postseason, 13 innings pitched, 3 earned, 18 strikeouts, 8 hits. On the other side, Zach Gallen, pretty similar numbers in the regular season, 3.47 ERA and 34 starts, 210 innings pitched, 220 strikeouts for Zach Gallen. Pretty stellar regular season. He's been one of the better pitchers in the National League over the last couple of years, just like Zach Wheeler. And Gallen's number this postseason, 3.18 ERA in just over 11 innings of work through two starts. So there are your numbers for the aces for both teams heading into game one. What the Phils need to do to win game one? I kind of look at it as like a replica of game one in Miami. And I kind of said like the same thing going into the Atlanta series in game one for them. Number one, Wheeler just sent plain put. Wheeler just does what he needs to do and what he's done in his first two starts. I know, you know, he had the Darno hiccup with that homer that he left hanging up there to Travis d'Arnaud in game one, right? Or game, was it game one? Right, game one of the NLCS. No, but they won the first game 3-0, right? No, it was the second game. I'm sorry, because Ranger pitched game one. So game two, where Wheeler pitched against Atlanta, he wasn't, you know, he didn't have, I mean, he had a good start. He just, you know, left that meatball up to d'Arnaud that he crushed. But I really see it as a replica of game one against Miami. Get to Zach Gallen early. Get him out of the game just like you did Lizardo, and get into the bullpen. And you know, that's just how I just think of them. I know I said this for the Atlanta series, but that's just kind of how I see, you know, the blueprint for winning this game is game one against Miami in the wild card series, where Wheeler had a phenomenal game. Get Lizardo out of there, get Gallen out of there, and get into that bullpen and get some insurance runs. And that comes right into the offense here. Offense, do your job. Don't leave men on base and get the insurance runs. Those three things. Do your jobs. Score some runs, obviously. Don't leave men in scoring position. Do not leave them on base and get your insurance runs. And, you know, you might leave a few men on base. It's not going to be perfect, but you know, more often than not, let's get those runs in, because it's very important. Every single run is important in the playoffs. And then when you get to the bullpen, which hopefully you do after you get Gallen out of there, after, you know, hopefully like 4 or 5 innings, you get those insurance runs late in the game to give, whether it's Kimbrel who comes in, whether it's Anthony Alvarado, whoever, leave some room for that you can kind of leave some room for error there, just in case they do give up a run or two. So get those insurance runs. So those are my keys to a win in game one. Once again, Wheeler does what he needs to do in first two starts. Get to Zach Gallen early, get him out of the game and into the bullpen. And then offense, do the job. Don't leave men on base. Get your insurance runs late in the game. Recapping other playoff series. But you know, before we get to that prediction on the game tonight, I will say, I'm going to say Phillies 5-2 in game one. I'll say Gallen gives up like 3 earned in 5, maybe 6. That would still be like a good start for Gallen, but you get to him nonetheless. But I'll say 5-2. Yeah, 5-2. 5-2 Phillies win. So other playoff series, just a quick recap of game one of the ALCS. Jordan Montgomery, nasty for the Texas Rangers as they steal game one in Houston. Justin Verlander was also nasty, 6 2/3, 2 earned runs. I believe, did Leody Tavares hit the home run off of him? But regardless, Leody Tavares hits a home run. Jonah Heim was able to drive in a run in the first inning, and that's literally all the Rangers would need as they take game one of the American League Championship Series 2-0 on the heels of Jordan Montgomery just shoving 6 1/3, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Montgomery just doing his job in game one for Texas. And then a preview of game two tonight, just your game two starters for the Rangers and the Astros. It'll be Nate Eovaldi and Framber Valdez. So Eovaldi for the Rangers and Framber Valdez, who has been really good this year for Houston, I believe threw a no-hitter earlier in the season. So should be a great matchup in game two of the ALCS that starts tonight. I guess late afternoon, 4:37. So that'll be the Phils will be playing right after game two of the American League Championship Series. Some bets before I get you out of here. I'm not stepping off the gas pedal here. Kyle Schwarber +320 day to homer. And, you know, he's my Championship Series MVP here. So hopefully that hits. Better hit. Literally. So Kyle Schwarber +320 to hit a home run. I'll take Zach Wheeler, 8+ strikeouts and Phils to win. Wheeler's been just K-ing everybody. So I'll take Wheeler 8+ strikeouts and Phillies to win. And then last one, first inning correct score. I'm going to say Schwarber hits a leadoff bomb. Screw it. I'm going to keep going with it. I don't care. Phillies up 1-0 after the first inning, plus 550. So take that bet. So that's my last bet. Those are all FanDuel bets, by the way. So that's it again. Phil's 5-2 tonight. They take the series in five. I really don't think they're going to have trouble with the D-backs. But let me know what you think. I want to know what you think out there on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Follow me. Tweet me. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about the Phils. You want to talk about the Eagles' loss yesterday? I didn't even mention the Eagles' loss because I've been so excited about the Phils. Thank God for the Phils because that loss was ugly yesterday over there in East Rutherford against the Jets. But that's going to do it for me. Go Phils! Hopefully a game one win tonight, and hopefully we'll be talking, I guess, after game three, I guess, on Thursday? Game two? Whatever. Hopefully we'll be talking about the Phillies being up in this series on Thursday. Talk to you guys soon.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on. Let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!